Hi, and welcome to the Body Positive Goddess podcast, where we talk all things body positivity, self-love, and self-acceptance with a sprinkle of magic. My name is Freya Serafina, and I will be your host. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Body Positive Goddess podcast. I'm answering some questions today. Okay, so I received a really interesting question on Spotify, which you can do, by the way. You can send me questions. And this person wanted to know how we can tap into divine feminine and divine masculine energy, regardless of gender. An excellent fucking question, which also will lead me to answer another question that someone sent into my website about Christianity and supporting people in other faith communities, which really got my brain thinking about a bunch of stuff. So buckle in. It's gonna be an interesting episode, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. I would like to begin this episode by saying all of these opinions are my own and that I am just a person, right? I am just a person, and I am only speaking from my own experiences, conversations I've had with other people, things that I've read, things I've listened to, things that I've learned, and things that I've experienced. And the main word in all of that was I. And so someone else's experience might be very different from mine. And that's okay. I'm going to start with divine feminine and divine masculine energies. Yes. So I first encountered this as a problem maybe when I was still in college, or right when I got out of college. And I'm bisexual. I'm a queer woman, and I've been in lesbian presenting relationships. The majority of my relationships have been heterosexual presenting. The one I'm in right now, obviously, is he is a straight cis man operating in the world, dating me. And I also, my background, I grew up in a Catholic household with my father's side of the family being born again Christian. And I was always a little bit different. And I was encouraged, actually, by my mother to be accepting of other people's religions. I can't say the same for what happened in school, but that's going to come a little bit later. So I have a bit of an eclectic background in that way. But I encountered this being an issue when I really started to get into divination and tarot and exploring who was the goddess. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a witch? What does it mean to be pagan? And this was before I really had a big handle on the fact that paganism is a very, very big umbrella. And it covers lots and lots of stuff and things. And it's more nuanced and intricate than one would believe on the surface. And so I was just talking about divine feminine, divine masculine energy, like that was fine. And I had a gay man ask me, well, I'm gay, do I have to just embody divine masculine energy? And it was the first time that I sat with that question. I went, no, of course not. Duh. And it was like a duh. But then I said, oh, but there is a lot of literature and a lot of people who teach through these specific modalities. And I thought, well, that doesn't work for everyone. What about trans people? What about non-binary people? What about gender non-conforming people? What about people who don't associate with one or the other? Well, what happens then? And it was not something that was too often spoken about until, I mean, in my own sphere, like 2 years ago, I really started unpacking this idea of, well, what does it mean to be in your divine feminine? What does it mean to be in your divine masculine? Are these our only options? And what sort of agenda does that push? Now, I think when people discover paganism or witchcraft, one of the first things that they discover is Wicca. And Wicca has its own set of issues, as any religion does. Usually that involves people. Again, we'll talk about this a little bit later. But one of the main tenets of Wicca is this idea of the divine masculine, divine feminine coming together, and that we have both of those energies within our own bodies as well. And that's the thing that I began to focus on. This idea of having both of those energetic forces within us. And what does that mean? Now, there are some people who are more spiritual, are more religious. So if we take the goddess, for example, some people might say, well, the goddess is just an archetype. And there are various archetypes of the goddess. So what does that mean? So someone might say, well, Mary Magdalene is an archetype of the goddess and she represents X, Y, and Z. Someone might even say, I wouldn't, but someone might say Mother Teresa is an archetype of the goddess. Then of course we can talk about Saint Bridget and all of those people, these archetypes of the goddess, the Morrigan versus Isis or Aset. The fact that across pantheons, there are deities that do a number of very similar things and have similar attributes and are associated with similar times of the year, etc., etc. Someone might say, well, that's just an archetype of the goddess. Whereas someone like me might say, no, that is a different goddess, or that is the goddess splitting herself, or that is how the goddess appeared to this particular set of people. And so there are many ways to approach this idea of divine feminine and divine masculine. Are these just archetypes, or is this vibrational energy more dominantly male or more dominantly female? And what does that mean? I am not like a scientist or a biologist or any of that. So I'm not really going to get into like, what does it mean to be a female? What does it mean to be a male? Because I think that gender is a societal construct and like also a product of colonialism. So there's all of that to unpack. So I'm going to attempt to focus just on these energetic frequencies of divinity, if that makes sense. Again, just my opinion, and it's an ever-changing opinion, because there are things that I would have said 10 years ago that this version of Freya doesn't agree with, and I wouldn't take them back because I learned something and I had to say those things and do those things and learn those things to put me on the path to learn what I know today. Tomorrow, I might be introduced to new information and be like, what I said yesterday is bullshit. I've learned this new thing. I think that that's really important. Like 5 years from now, I might listen to this episode and be like, oh my God, what the fuck am I talking about? It's possible. So what I believe right now that I also am still working through is that we have both of these energies inside of us. And the divine masculine functions in a different way than the divine feminine does. And I think that we can harness and utilize these different energies for different things. I like to think about divine masculine energy as this idea of structure and method and this kind of mental modality. What I mean is making lists, having a set schedule, working hard, working 9 to 5, pushing ourselves. That could also mean stepping into, this might get me in trouble, but stepping into these ideas of authority, of being control, even these ideas of violence. Now, what I say when I say, oh, this might get me into trouble, someone might say, well, women can be in charge and women can be violent. Yes, absolutely. But I think that we tap into a more masculine energy. That doesn't mean that we are acting like men. We are tapping into a more aggressive energy. And I think that what's harmful in this conversation is labeling it as divine feminine, divine masculine, through the lens of how we define those terminologies today. I wish there was like a better word for it. I don't know. Maybe I'll come up with one by the time this episode is done. But in the meantime, that's how I view this kind of masculine energy. It's do, 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 do. Think, 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 think. And with divine feminine energy, I think it's more free. There are less restrictive boundaries. There's more creativity. There is this nurturing aspect, but I think it can also be nurturing towards ourselves, not necessarily towards other people. It could be nurturing towards the earth. I think of masculine energy as paving and creating the making the soil ready. Making the soil ready for the feminine to come and plant and nourish the seeds. I think that we are hyper focused as a society on this idea of masculine energy. And I think that's where a lot of people who contain more feminine energy experience burnout. And I think that my biggest problem personally is I experience burnout in every facet of my life because I want to work, 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 and work hard. And I take on too many things and I've got too much structure and I lose myself. I lose all of my feminine aspects. I lose my sensuality. I lose my creativity. I lose my manifestation abilities and my psychic abilities. I lose all of these things that are innately feminine because society is very masculine. And too much of anything is a bad thing, right? We talk about toxic masculinity. There's nothing wrong with masculinity. Masculinity is beautiful and amazing and wonderful and necessary and divine, right? But toxic masculinity is a whole other animal. And if we take a look at toxic femininity, which it exists, it does, this overstepping of boundaries, for example, if you've ever known someone who has a really inappropriate relationship with their mother, it might feel or look like a strange romantic relationship on the outside, or the mother has no boundaries with her children, or wants to nurture and coddle them into adulthood, that's a toxic femininity aspect as well. I think a perfect storm for anyone would to be to marry these two things within yourself. And I think that goes back to these aspects, these tenets of Wicca, right? There are a lot of other religions that have something similar to this, is that you marry these energies. The god and the goddess come together and they create life. New life. They create blessings. We create those blessings within ourselves when we can balance these frequencies and balance these energies. Some of it looks really simple, right? You've got to work a 9-to-5, but what do you do to take breaks? How do you take a somatic break, which has been my new favorite thing? We did this in one of like these things for my PhD. They were like, we're going to take a break and we're going to do a meditation. We're going to put some music on and we're going to move our bodies, or we're going to draw circles on the paper while you listen to a poem. And it might not feel like much, but it's tapping into our bodies. I'm like moving around in a circle in my chair right now, like swiveling my hips. It's tapping into our bodies and it's tapping into this energy and it's releasing this pent up masculine energy, and it allows us to get back in and to focus. I'm sure you've experienced just working, and then there's nothing left. You're pulling from a depleted well. There's nothing you can do. That's, I think, where the importance of marrying these things together comes. This balance. How can we be balanced within ourselves? And I think that this is still applicable for someone who is non-binary or gender non-conforming in any way, because it's not about male and female. And that's why I wish I could call it something else. It's just a balance of equal but opposite energies. It's this high energy, and also this groundedness. You know, I think that the masculine has very grounded energy, whereas the feminine has very light energy. And how do you bring those things together? You could think about them like the elements if you wanted to. Earth and air, fire and water. These opposites, but when perfectly balanced, create beauty, create life, create something new. The air moves the pollen and it repollinates a plant elsewhere. You know, the rain comes down and douses the fire. But that doesn't mean that it's completely gone, that one negates the other. They're all necessary parts of life. If there's too much wet, you need a fire. You need heat. If your house is on fire, you need some water to put that out. Equal and opposite energies. How do you balance that within yourself? There are a few ways that you can do that, actually. And I'm going to talk about some that have been beneficial for me anyway. So when I think about balancing the divine masculine and the divine feminine energies within myself, I like to do things that are both grounded in nature, but also involve this idea of letting go of the physical space that I'm in. So that could be meditation, that could be yoga, that could be a manifestation ritual. So for meditation especially, I've admitted this a few times before, meditation is not the best thing for me to do if I'm not being led by somebody, because my brain is going wild all of the time. And that's why I think I like yoga so much, because it is a moving meditation. And you do really get outside of your head and sometimes outside of your body, and you're just kind of like going, but you should be in your body and you should be focused in that way. But meditations that I have enjoyed that tap into both of these energies are usually grounding and healing. So I carry a lot of pain and trauma in my pelvic area. And so I've noticed that my energy gets really stagnant there. And I think a good thing to focus on is where your energy gets stuck, because where your energy is getting stuck, there's some kind of blockage, right? And that doesn't allow these two modalities to come together and merge if there's some sort of blockage. So I would focus on a meditation, like find something on YouTube, that's what I do, or listen to a tape or a podcast or whatever it is that releases the stagnant energy and gets it moving in whatever area you feel it's stuck. And if you don't know where it might be stuck, a good place to start is tapping into where you feel pain on your body. Because pain is our last indicator, right? When something is wrong inside of us, our body is fighting to fix it before it's like, hey, something's happening. I'm in pain. Help. So if you feel pain somewhere, it's a pretty good bet that that's where something is going on. That could be your chest, it could be your shoulders, it could be your pelvis like me, it could be your knees, your wrist, your, you know, some other joint. Maybe you have stomach pain. Focus on those areas. And I always like to rub my hands together and warm them up and place them on these areas that hurt and really imagine light or even like your blood and your blood cells like pushing and running through this space so that it moves this blockage and it creates this space for energy to really center yourself. And I love a good grounding drum beat, flutes, that kind of combination between earth and sky to really balance yourself out. I think there are a lot of benefits to this. I think one, a balanced person is more present and more aware. And I think that we can tap into the things that we want the most in life. If you are working on manifesting something, if you're working on visualizing something, if you want to make clear decisions, being balanced and not having too much aggressive energy or too much emotional energy is going to help you make those decisions. And I think that's one of the really beautiful benefits of marrying the divine feminine with the divine masculine. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. I feel like it wasn't as helpful as I wanted it to be. I'm sorry. But, that's what I have to say about that. I think that any gender can tap into anything at all, especially if you just view it as an archetype. You know, if you think about the Morrigan, for example, I wouldn't say, as much as she is divine feminine, she is a very masculine goddess in the traditional sense. She's a warrior goddess. She's on the battlefield. She is helping people murder other people and break down their blockages and destroy whatever is in their way so they can accomplish their goal. That's very masculine energy, but she's a goddess. I think that all of these things exist within ourselves and that there are some archetypes that just possess different qualities, more so than Bridget, for example, who would really be more of a mother goddess, nurturing goddess, the home and the hearth, those sorts of things. Yeah. So it's all in there and you can tap into it at any time. And I think, again, a really good place to start is to notice where you feel you have blockages and invite that energy into your body and create systems for you to do so. So again, if you have a long work day, how do you transition from that? Or how do you create moments where you allow yourself to be soft and feminine and creative and sensual? If you are in a month-long streak of creativity where all you're doing is writing and dreaming and maybe you're producing a play or you're working on some form of art, okay, how do you structure that and turn that into a bit of a business? How do you put your business hat on and go, all right, well, I created this wonderful thing. Now I want people to see it, or now I want to sell this craft of mine. That's tapping into your masculine energy and inviting that into your feminine space. So there's lots and lots and lots of different ways that you can do that. So I hope that was helpful. I'm sorry if it wasn't. I'd love your feedback on that. Or if you have clarifying questions, I think that helps me really get into a conversation about this, is that I feel like I've given a broad idea and some broad examples of that. If you have very specific questions, I think that's really helpful just for how my brain works. But in the meantime, I hope that was helpful. And thank you for your question, because I really like thinking about that actually, because when I started running women's circles and doing red tents, I had a trans friend of mine say, well, I don't want to come somewhere if someone's not going to see me as a woman. And I was like, you are a woman. excuse me, why would you not be allowed in my space? But then I started to think like, okay, that's a real fear that is completely and 1000% valid. And how do I create a nurturing and safe environment for all people, for all women? And if I'm creating an environment for all women, am I excluding somebody else? And I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer because I really do value my women's spaces, and I value spaces where I can bleed and we can talk about that. And I don't know how to make sure that I am being respectful and loving and understanding of everyone, and that I'm creating an environment where everyone feels safe. And I hope that I'm doing that. But I am so open to feedback if I'm not. But I don't have all the answers. And I wish I did. I don't have all the answers. I think about this, what you asked me, I think about this question all of the time, is this idea of divine feminine, divine masculine, and what do archetypes mean, and who created these archetypes, and the fact that at some point there had to be more archetypes in this, because gender is a very much so a colonial construct, and trans people have always existed, and non-binary people have always existed, and there are gods and goddesses that embody this notion of being non-binary, of shifting between one gender to the next. So they have always existed. You have always existed. So when did we come up with this idea of divine feminine and divine masculine? And is it detrimental, or is it beneficial to who it's beneficial for? I think that's another aspect of it too, right? Is that sometimes we have to take teachings and lessons and take what works for us and let the rest of it go. And sometimes, like, what works for me, like, amazingly, might not work for my partner. It might not work for my best friend. Me and my best friend are very different and have very different views and ideas on things. And somehow we're still best friends. I don't know. Who knows? But it happens. I think that you can take what works for you and leave what doesn't, with the caveat that if something is harmful towards someone's existence, that is not the same as keeping what works for you and getting rid of what doesn't, because there are teachings out there that are steeped in misogyny, homophobia, racism. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and those do not count. So please don't use that as an argument for, well, this racist belief, half of it works for me. No, that is not what I mean. So, you know better than that. I'm just saying. Just needed to get that out there, that that does not count. But there are things, that teachings, where some of it resonates and some of it doesn't. And that's okay. That's okay too. Yeah. Cool. Thank you for that. Shifting gears slightly. Let's dive in to the second part of this. So I had someone reach out to me, and I am paraphrasing at this point because I don't know exactly where that comment/question went, because if you listen to last week's episode, you will know that I am a crazy person right now. But it was along the lines of, how can we be more inclusive and understanding as Christians of pagans or people with different faith systems? I want to start by saying it might have come off this way because of my own personal feelings, but I do not harbor resentment towards anyone of any faith. Actually, I had a lot of unpacking to do this past semester. I took a course on Christianity and paganism, and I learned quite a bit. I did not know that Christianity was an indigenous African religion and that it was utilized as a weapon for conquering and colonialism. So if you are listening to this and you did not know that, I invite you to do your research there. I think for starters, if anyone ever in the whole wide world subscribes to a religion, the most important thing they should do is research the history and origins of their faith. This is for anyone. I think that this is so, so important because you will be surprised by what you find. You will be surprised by what you thought was true that isn't, that somebody somewhere just made up. For example, there was a pope back in the day who all of a sudden decided that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. She wasn't. It's okay if you're a prostitute, but Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. She was actually, you could consider her more of a political advisor. And she was a woman of means and wealth. And she listened to Jesus's message and she was enamored by it and became a supporter and supported him on his journey with his teachings. Yeah, not a prostitute. And there was a pope, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but he decided that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, therefore a whore and unworthy. And this was still during a time where women were priests, and he wanted to do away with women as priests. And so the perfect way to do that is to make women whores. And there are some parts of Turkey and a few other places that were out of the general immediate reach of Rome that they didn't get this memo till much later. And so if you look through history, you'll see there were still female Catholic priests in places like Turkey for much longer than they were elsewhere. So when I say do your research, do your research. This is just another prime example of people corrupting faith. And that's where I really want to start, is that there are problems in every religion, and usually the problem is people. The problem is people. If you go back and you look at the actual tenets of any religion, you will discover that at the base, at the root, is usually love. It's usually love and acceptance. And there's usually a component of wanting to take care of the earth and to honor the earth and the environment. And there are Christian mystics, there are Jewish mystics, there are Muslim mystics. There are lots of interesting things that you will discover when you start to research. And I think that there were religions, Christianity is unfortunately one of them, where they were co-opted by the patriarchy, by colonial powers that be, and they were twisted and utilized for their own benefit. And if you go back and look before, you will find many, many beautiful things. It's important to know what your history was because we don't want to repeat those sorts of things. And unfortunately, a lot of that is still being repeated. But not just in Christianity, in lots and lots of other religions. There are so many problems in Wicca. I'm not Wiccan. There are problems in lots of pagan faiths. There are creeps everywhere. There are white supremacists everywhere. I mean, I, as a Norwegian person, get so fucking angry when I see neo-Nazis taking our runes and using them for their own fucking purposes. I mean, I could lose my fucking mind. There's problems everywhere. And I think the most important thing that anyone can do to support other people is to actually look at the tenets of their faith and live by them. Support your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Forgiveness, kindness, humility, charity. doing good for others, doing good for the earth in which we live. If you believe any God at all created this earth, why would we want to destroy it? Letting people have autonomy over their own bodies. I mean, there's really nothing in most of the religious texts that exist that says that a woman should not be in charge of her own body. But I think that we as a people are lazy when it comes to ingesting information. And also we're trained. We are trained from the time we were little. Your parents' religion is probably your religion, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And there is someone telling them what to believe and how to feel and how to interpret a text. Why? I just told you that Mary Magdalene wasn't a prostitute, and wasn't that many years ago where they like secretly did away with that information but never announced it because they don't want people to know. Why? What happens when we take our power back? What happens when we look at the systems in place and we go, that's not right. Stop this right now. What happens when we actually look at the tenets of our faith and live by them? We become kinder, more grounded, more spiritual, more loving, maybe even more driven. Maybe we have a deeper purpose and sense of self because we have a deep sense of the divine and what is waiting for us. I don't know. I don't really have the answers. But I also think, not just researching your own religion, but researching other people's religions. There's a difference between learning about another faith or another culture, another society, and co-opting it, right? There's cultural appropriation and there's cultural appreciation, and sometimes there's a fine line. But I mean, there's this thing that circulated recently in like a cult Twitter where they were like, you are not allowed to buy and read content from other people's faith and closed practices. And many of those authors were like, please read my books. That's why I wrote them. Please. You can absolutely ingest as much information that exists. Please, please support people's art and literature. Please buy as much as you can from authors in whatever culture, whatever faith system. They need your support. And also, I think that it's really easy to assume something about somebody else based on what you've been told, one thing you might have read, an experience you had, whatever the news and the media tells you. But that doesn't make it true. That doesn't make it true at all. Read something. Read a different religious text that doesn't belong to you. Read academic papers. Talk to someone. Go to a temple. Go to a mosque. Go to any sort of religious ceremony. Go to freaking, I don't know, a full moon circle, right? See what it's all about. And always remember that people are people. Sometimes people suck. More often than not, people suck. And that's okay. You know, I've gone to lots of circles where I'm like, I don't know if this is really my vibe. I don't think I really want to come back to this ever again. And then I've gone to some circles and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I've gone to some Christian church services and I'm like, I really like the vibe in here. I love the music that's being played and everyone's singing a song and that's great. The message might not be for me and that's okay. I've gone to lots of different religious things. I mean, I'm working on my PhD in religion now, but I took a religious studies minor when I was in college. And so I had to learn about other people. And I think that that's the most important thing that we can do. I don't think it comes down to like a Christian versus anybody else. I think it's people versus people. And I think that we need to focus a lot less on trying to get people to see our point of view and a lot more focus on stepping over the line ourselves and understanding people for who they are. And that's it. And then to revert back to, well, what are the tenets of my faith? They are to love and forgive others and to be compassionate and generous and all that other good stuff. I also don't know if that is an answer to your question, but it's how I feel. And that's all I can really do and say is answer how I feel and what I think. And I hope that this has been helpful in some way. I don't know. I hope so. Yeah, but I am really happy to answer both of these questions because I do feel sometimes I leave out the goddess aspect of the body positive goddess podcast. I almost called it the passport, like I'm being transported into another time and place, possibly. But I feel like sometimes I leave that aspect out because, you know, something has happened that has enraged me about my body, or I saw something in the news, or I went on casting, or I spoke to other models or other women. But it is the Body Positive Goddess podcast. And we are all things goddess here in spirituality. And that does not exclude anybody at all. I will never, ever, ever do that. And I hope that my language has not done that. I'm sure if I went back and listened to some earlier podcasts, it probably might have. I do have some strong feelings based on personal experiences. And that's why I was really glad I took the classes I did this semester. And I think we should all learn something new about somebody else. I think that will help us just be better people, right? Maybe, hopefully, I don't know. Well, thank you for listening to this interesting episode this week. If you have more questions, more things you want to know about, you can comment on Spotify. There's an option to do that. Or you can send me a DM. That works too. Okay, thanks for listening. See you next time.